and we have a possible parking problem here. So, oh, no, that's just a guy from the church. He's wearing a cop uniform. All right. Man, we are off to an awesome start. I got all scared like we were about to get arrested or something. I'm like, this isn't China. We're supposed to be able to do this here. All right. Woo! How about that for an intro? All you guys are new are like, this guy is nuts. We're never coming back. I knew we should have took the boat out early. All right. Okay, we've been working through, my name's Donnie, for you guys who don't know me, and yeah, you may be scared of me afterwards, but that's my name, and that's my wife in the back. Wave your hand, baby. There's Jill, and there, good to see you. All right, so we've been looking at who is Jesus, okay? We're a new church. We're meeting in an old gas station, all right? So it's not like we have this whole big fancy thing going on. Probably won't ever, but that's just us. That's just who we are. But we decided, you know, rather than kind of get in there, what is church and how do you do church? And let's read all the books and let's, you know, do all the church stuff. You know what? It felt like God just came because we were doing that. We were kind of on that path. Sorry, just to be humble and vulnerable with you. I bought like $200 worth of these church books and I haven't read them yet because I started down that road and it was like, God was like, man, hold up. Like, I came before the church, you know, me, Jesus, you know, and do you guys get who I am yet, you know, because in the Bible, I chose to come before the church did, you know, and so we just have felt like, you know what, which came first, Jesus or the cross, Jesus. So, I mean, Jesus or the church. So we're gonna look at who Jesus is for a season. That's where we're at. And we've been walking through Colossians. It's this beautiful, amazing letter. We have all the teachings there in the back. If you want to hear more of what you've heard so far this morning, you can grab that. They're free. We just think if you miss a week, you're welcome to take it. But what we've been doing is kind of looking at how Paul, who's this guy who's currently in prison at this time, because he loves his church so much. He loves the church so much that he's actually in trouble. What he's doing is against the law, preaching and building up churches. And so they've thrown him in jail in this cave underground. And this guy's down there. He's suffering and he's sitting there not having a pity party, not thinking about himself. He's actually thinking about a group of people he's never even met before, which is crazy because you and I would only be thinking about ourselves. We'd be sitting there going, man, God, this is not what I signed up for. I didn't get into this church thing so I could get thrown in jail, you know? I thought I was supposed to get gold teeth. That's what the guy on TV said, you know? Like, the Christian guy said I was supposed to get, like, a bunch of cool cars and stuff. Here Paul is in prison. And instead of thinking about himself and woe is me, or even thinking about his family, what about my mom? What do they think? Instead of any of that, he is thinking about this church that he's never even met. And his love for them, he just can't help it. He's like, man, I got to write these guys a letter. So he writes them this beautiful letter, Colossians. And so we've been working through that. And last week we spoke about, Paul kind of describes the uniform that Christians wear. Okay? We'll get into that a little bit. I'm not going to re-preach it because it's over there and it's Memorial Day weekend. And you guys probably want to go get some Bojangles and get the shack or something. But we basically talked about how, like, he gives us this uniform that we put on. Okay, he doesn't want to change our size. If you think about a sports team, he doesn't come along and go, okay, everybody now needs to be, you know, buck 85 and be able to, run this fast. And he doesn't make everybody wide receivers or linemen or whatever. He says, look, no, your personality is great. You know, your shape and the way you talk, your accent and your skin color, and those things are great. God loves that. We see that picture in heaven in Revelation. It says that he sees all nations and all languages. So apparently we don't get to heaven and go through some machine that makes us all look the same. God loves diversity. He loves our color. You know, he loves the differences in who we are. But there's a uniform he wants us to wear so that people can look at us and go, you don't physically look the same, but man, you're the same. You're on the same team. You know, just like we look at Dallas Cowboys, you don't have to, I mean, I don't know anything about football and I can tell what that uniform is, you know, because we all know what it looks like. That's the thing Paul is trying to communicate, is there is a uniform that we all wear that where people can recognize us. Man, you don't look or talk but man, you're the same. You're on that team, I can tell. And so Paul gave us that. That's last week. And then this week, he kind of dives a little further with the team analogy and he begins to talk about kind of like special roles, okay? So within this one big, huge team that we have, he divides it down into three groups, three kind of specific roles that we have within this big team, and that's what we're going to talk about, okay? I'll read the passage, and then I'll just start to kind of unpackage it a little bit for you, and we'll get you out of here probably the next half hour. We should be done, all right? Colossians 3, let me just pray for us. Father, we just ask in Jesus' name. I know I've been silly already. I've probably said too much already. If I have, got to ask your forgiveness, and I just pray that, God, you would help this morning, your word come through clear Father, we are not trying to be the cool church. We have no desire. We just, God, what we want to be is a church that stands for who you are and who understands who you are. And God, I pray this morning that you would help us to get a better glimpse of who you are. In Jesus' name, God, that is what we're on about, God. That's what we're trying to be. We're trying to figure out who you are, Jesus. And this morning, I pray, let your word speak, challenge, encourage, motivate us, heal us. In your name we pray. Amen. Okay, Colossians 3, verse 18. Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. And husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Slaves, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters, not by way of eye service as people pleasers, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ, for the wrongdoer will be paid back for the wrong he has done, and there is no partiality. All right. Woo, that's a big one, right? It's a big one. Remember that we said last week that the gospel, what we're talking about, is that word means good news, okay? It's always going to be good news. And sometimes you and I read it, like the verse a few weeks ago, it says the wrath of God's coming. And we're like, how is that good news, you know? But we're not seeing it how God sees it, okay? We talked about that. If you and I saw what God sees, we saw every rape, every plague, every act of injustice, every kid who's molested, every kid who's abused, every wife who's abused, if we could see what God sees, you and I would be bringing wrath a lot quicker than God is, okay? So we have to kind of step back sometimes because we're so quick to go, I don't agree, you know? Some of us, if you're like me, honestly, I'll read it and I go, I don't agree. But I realize, you know what? Maybe I'm not looking at it like God is looking at it. Maybe I need to try to step back a little bit and help myself see it. And so we're gonna walk through this a little bit, all right? And the purpose here is to, I heard recently about guys who, they judge diamonds, you know, and they want to look at a diamond and see if it's perfect. How do you know if it's, how do you give it the number that it's given or the color that's given? And this is how these guys do it. They'll take like a flawless diamond, as close as they can get to flawless, and they'll stare at it. The first thing in the morning, they just stare and stare and stare and look and look and look. And then they'll go take and they'll look at a flawed diamond and they kind of judge it. And then they look at another one and judge it. And after like two, they go back to the original and they look at the original again and they look at it. Because what'll happen is they'll start judging each flawed diamond against the previous flawed diamond. So they have to keep going back to the perfect diamond, all right? That's what this life is all about. That's what Christianity is all about. And that's what we're doing here is we keep going back to this flawless diamond and saying, okay, look, it would be very easy for me to judge this scripture based on my personal experience, what I saw in my own home growing up, what I see around me in my friends' marriages or relationships or whatever. But that's pointless. That's judging one flawed against another flawed. And then the Bible brings us back to, this is this picture of flawless. This is the ideal, okay? We're surrounded by the real. This is the ideal, okay? And we want to continually be shaped more and more and more away from the real into the ideal. All right. So Paul's addressing three groups here. It's like a famous football coach comes to Wes Carter and says, I want to meet with your offense, your defense, and your special teams. And we're going to break this thing down a little bit. We're going to talk. That's what's happening here. Paul comes along and says, all right, three groups I want to address. Group one, husbands and wives. Group two, children and parents. And group three, the work environment, bosses and workers. Okay? So he comes along and says, I'm going to break this down to three groups for you. And I'm going to help you see kind of how this whole thing works out on this big team. All right? And you have to understand the context. You have to. The context is this, is just a few verses ahead. So a couple weeks ago, we talked about Colossians 3:11, where Paul says, here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian and Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all in all. Paul's making a statement there that we have to include in this conversation. Paul is saying that we're all equal, but we have different roles. Okay, he's saying we're at the cross, we're all equal. But he doesn't say at the cross, now it's no longer Jew and Greek, now it's Jew and Jew. No, he's saying, no, it's still Jew and Greek, but we're all equal. All right, so we're different, but we're equal. We need a joke, so if you can imagine, Jill and I are different, We are equal before Jesus. We're equal as important persons and all of that. There's no difference there as far as our equality. But I cannot birth children unless some freak science experiment, which nobody would really want to waste on me, it's not going to happen, all right? I'm not going to ever be able to birth a child. It's as bad as I want, it's never going to happen, okay? And I don't want to, but it sounded like I did. Please. Okay, so that's what Paul is saying here. Look, man, look, you're equal. We're not saying you're not equal. We're just saying you're different, okay? Group one, husbands and wives. We'll read the verse to you again. Wives, submit to your husbands, as is fitting in the Lord. And husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. We got to tackle these things as a package deal because that's what it is. Where is this kind of stuff taught in a way that's just unhelpful? Because you probably heard this phrase in a way that would be unhelpful. I'll tell you where. This is taught in a way that's unhelpful where any teaching in the Bible is taught in a way that's unhelpful. And that is out of context and in isolation, in order to kind of someone to promote their own selfish agenda. That's when the Bible is used for people's own personal gain, and we're never going to promote that here. And so what will happen is you'll get, you know, a wife or a husband who will, you know, they'll have this own kind of agenda going on, and they'll go find this, and they'll, and it's not in love. It's not in this. I mean, there's been a lot before this. Before he said this, there was a lot. He talked about compassionate hearts. He talked about being meek. He talked about being humble. He talked about bearing with one another. He talked about forgiving one another, loving one another above all. He talked about a whole lot of stuff before he said this. And what you'll get is you'll get a wife or a husband who will say, you know, I don't actually care about the context. I'm not willing to go through all that. I want my own way. I want my agenda. And so anytime we ever use the Bible for that, it's when it gets unhelpful. And usually that's when people are turned away for the wrong reason, you know? In context, we're talking about who Jesus is. These guys were clueless. The Roman culture, it's important to know here that Paul uses the word submit, which is a different word in the Greek, and I can't pronounce either one of them, so I'm not going to try. It's different. It's a different word than the word obey, okay? The word obey was kind of a common cultural phrase in the time, and the picture that you got was it was a husband kind of with this whip in his hand and the wife and the kids like trembling in the background. That's the culture that was going on. Paul speaks into that culture and says, no, it's not that word. It's this word. Okay, it's a submission, and it's with this love, and it's with all this stuff going on. So he's speaking in stark contrast to the culture of the day. And Paul appeals to us. He says, look at Jesus. Let him be the model for the relationships. Wives, submit to your husbands as you submit to Christ, okay? Because we're Christ's bride, all right? That doesn't mean that all of us men have to put on white dresses and walk down an aisle. It means that we are his girl. Like corporately, that's the picture God uses to communicate who we are, that we're his bride, that he loves us, that he cares for. So wives, you submit to your husbands as you submit to Christ. And husbands, you love your wives and don't be harsh with them like Christ in the church. It's a package deal there, okay? And Paul goes into further detail in Ephesians 5. And I just feel like I have to belabor this group a little bit longer than the other two. You guys are like getting nervous. You're going, man, he spends way too much time on this point. He's going to spend equal amount and we're not going to ever get out of here. But I just feel like this one has been just so poorly managed and is real. People have made a mess of this thing. And so we have to spend a little bit more time. I'm just going to read one scripture to you and then we'll move on. Ephesians 5:22. Ephesians and Colossians kind of parallel each other. Very similar issues that Paul was writing to with these two different churches. In verse 22, he says this. Wives, submit to your own husbands. Pause there. That's like those little labels that say, don't stick your finger in the light socket. It seems like a pretty obvious kind of thing. Like, don't stick your finger there. It seems obvious that wives submit to your own husbands, not like every husband. But apparently, there was somebody in the Ephesian church that was going around trying to submit to everybody. And Paul's like, all right, I don't want to single you out. So everybody just kind of pick your own husband. And anyway, I think the Bible's funny sometimes. I mean, who was doing that? Anyway, wives, submit to your own husbands. Like, she's cooking like 50 pot roasts tonight. You know, he said, you know. To your own husbands as to the Lord. Again, he brings it, every one of these things, he's going to bring it right back to Jesus, right back to Jesus. All right, that's our context. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and himself its Savior. Now the church submits, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. All right, great. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church, gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of the water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor without spot, wrinkle, or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. See, you gotta like get the whole picture here. That's a beautiful thing. That's a beautiful thing. And we're talking about Jesus who left his throne in heaven, came down and gave himself up for us. And Paul's saying, now that's husbands, that's how I expect you to love your wives. That's how I want to see it done. It looks like that. You come down and you lay yourself down, you die to yourself in every way, and you seek to understand her and love her and care for her. And so when we make it like Christ on either side, it makes a lot, it's easier to swallow. It's an easier pill to swallow. We're born selfish. We're born rotten to the core, nasty as we can be. None of us come out of the womb going, like, this is great. Well, there's one kid in Mary Beth's class that is like smiles about everything. So maybe her. But I mean, other than her, I don't know that any of us come out like perfect, you know? So we all come out nasty. We all come out selfish. That's just who we are. That's our nature. All right, this does challenge that. He goes on, he says, he who loves his wife loves himself, for no one has hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it as Christ does the church, because we are members of its body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I'm saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each of you love his wife as himself. Let the wife see that she respects her husband. And again, we don't have time to keep going on and on and on this. This is in there, so we wanted to talk about it. I wanted to explain it a little bit. But the point of this kind of next 10, 11 weeks or so that we're going to be doing this course on Wednesday nights is to help kind of what does this relationship look like? It's a beautiful verse in Song of Songs that says, you know, I am my beloved's and he is mine. And that's that picture that we get that is like, man, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. And if you, yeah, you should come. All right. Group two. I'm aware it's 10:40. Group two, he talks about parents and kids. I'm going to read the verse to you again. He says, children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Okay, so children, obey when, what, where, how, everything. This pleases the Lord. And dads, don't provoke your kids. Ephesians, again, like I said, parallels this. Ephesians 6, verse 4, Paul says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Paul says, even the way you discipline, even the way you instruct should look like Jesus. How does he discipline you? How does he instruct you? How does he lead you? Mercy and kindness and grace and love. And what I love about Jesus, this is one of my favorite things about Jesus, is that he doesn't respond to me out of emotion. He doesn't get angry at me and his anger flare up in a moment and he just zaps me and I'm gone, you know? That would probably happen multiple times a day if God allowed himself to lead with his emotions, you know? God is slow to anger and abounding in love. And so there's a framework here when Paul says, like, you know, this is how you're to parent. This is how you're to treat your, this is how you treat your parents. This is how to treat your kids. There's this whole framework that Paul is saying, we got to look at who God is and let that thing fashion this, all right? Finally, group three, the work environment. Says, slaves, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters, not by way of eye service as people pleasers, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. Paul reminds these guys, look, these guys are only your earthly masters. They're only your earthly bosses, all right? It's not going to get to heaven. And, you know, the guys, if you have a crummy boss, you get to heaven and you're like, man, I finally escaped. And like, there she is, you know, and like, over here, you know, like you got more work to do. And it's not happening. It's just here on earth that that's happening. All right. So in an eternal context, it's not that big of a deal. But I know that some of you guys have awful, awful bosses. I understand. Not going to happen, you know, and I understand that this makes it more difficult. And we're going to talk about that in a moment. And he says, how, but we should obey them, you know? So even if they're crummy, like we don't take the uniform off, we still have to obey them. And this is how we obey them, all right? So this is for all of us who have a job. We obey not with eye service, not as people pleasers, but with sincerity of heart, and we work heartily. And some of you guys are saying by now this. This is kind of where I'm going to start closing it here. Some of you guys have said, you know what, man, I hear you. I hear the Bible. That's all great. But you haven't met my wife. You know, I've heard that. You haven't met my wife before, or you haven't met my husband. You know, you haven't met my boss. You haven't met my kids. You know, you haven't met the guys that work for me. Like, you haven't, you know. All right. So let's address it. Surely, let me just say this. Surely, is it easier for a wife to submit to a husband who loves like that, like we saw there? Absolutely. Is it easier for a husband to love his wife who submits like that? Absolutely. Is it easier for a child to obey when his parents are like this? Absolutely. Vice versa. Is it easier to work hard when our boss is like this? Absolutely. And is it easier to be a boss like that when your employees are like this? Absolutely. 100%. But what if? What if they don't? What if they don't love you like that, or obey you like that, or follow you like that? And this is where the Bible becomes super relevant, because guess what? Not only, you know, can they not, but they won't. They won't do it. The best husband will blow it. The best wife will. The kids, the boss, the employees, everybody. Everybody, every one of us are going to screw up. Some of us are going to screw up a whole lot. Some people are like, that's like their thing. They screw up. That's like their professional is at. And some of us are trying really hard not to screw up. I am trying really hard not to screw up with my marriage. But guess what? Every once in a while, I say some really stupid stuff. You know? I do, man. I say some just stupid stuff. And I have to say that because Jill was gone a few weeks ago, and so I went on this whole rant about like how much, because I was like missing her like crazy, and I talked and talked. And then Beaver accidentally deleted the recording, so now like it's a mystery. Did I ever really say it? I mean, I told her I did, and I tried to show her. And I was like, hey, yeah, you got to hear this thing. And I go, and I'm like, oh my gosh, like it's the one time it got deleted. But anyway, it's more of my fault than his. I'm not throwing Beaver under the bus. But anyway, you guys were there. You're witnesses. You can tell her. But I mean, I talked about this and this and this. And I had a couple, you know, people like, oh, that's so sweet. And da-da-da. So I thought, we have to earth this thing for you and let you understand, in case you couldn't have figured it out already, I'm definitely have not got this thing all figured out. You know, we're going to show up on Wednesday nights, my wife and I, with pen and paper in hand, you know, and we've already listened to this stuff, and we're going to listen to it again, and we're going to listen to it because we want, I hope in 50, 60 years, I'm going, I want to be better, I want to be better, I want to be better. And so even the ones of us who are trying so hard are going to still blow it, are going to still screw up. And what happens in that moment? How do we respond? Paul's analogy here, and this is what's important to understand if you walk away with nothing else today, is that this is language of covenant. Because he's talking about how everything we do, you do it like you do with the Lord. And that thing with God is a covenant. It's a relationship that, and this is the question you have to ask yourself. When you're the one who's not getting treated in the way that you think you should be, what does God do when we don't? I love that question. What does God do when we don't? ... God remains consistent. God remains faithful. He remains loving. He remains kind. Bible says that God has loved us with an everlasting love. God doesn't change. You and I, man, we're very privileged in that one relationship, that part of the relationship isn't changing. He says, I'm the Lord, I do not change. I've loved you with an everlasting love. So when we blow it, when we do things that I'm sure are offensive to God, hurt God, you know, even when we try really hard and we still blow it, God loves us. He's consistent with us because it's a covenant. He's in a covenant with us. He's in this relationship with us. It isn't like, you know, we're just going to rock up to some, you know, like some, you know, I don't know, TV shows, divorce court thing, and you know, God's going to just get rid of us, you know? He loves us. He could have been rid of me a long time ago, but he still loves me. And so this isn't a series about what you and I can do better necessarily. This is a series about Christ and how he's the example, and we, the more we get a picture of him, the more that it changes us. So let me say two things. Number one, what if you want to see a change in your wife, your husband, your boss, your kids, let me throw it out there. I think a good idea would be try being selfless. Try being selfless. I think that oftentimes works. That's what I've found. I found oftentimes when I feel like, man, I should be getting a, you know what, I just serve. I just lay myself down. And a lot of times it works. And maybe you guys are saying, look, I'm dealing with the devil himself, and that's not going to work. My selflessness is never going to amount to any kind of a change. And I want to say with you in absolute just tenderness that at that moment, man, Christ may be more relevant to you than ever, because he knows what it's like. He knows what it's like to be treated unfairly like you and I cannot imagine. He did nothing wrong. He did nothing wrong. And we're going to get to heaven one day, and the Bible says that in heaven he'll be the only guy with scars. He did nothing wrong, and he's the only guy in heaven with scars. So when you and I find ourselves in situations where it's all we can do and they still don't get it, I think we may have come closer to understanding Jesus than ever before. Because he understands that. He gets that. He did nothing wrong and he was murdered for it. All he came to do was love us. And they killed him. And there are exceptions, guys. The exception is abuse. Because some of you will hear this and you'll go, man, what if this and what if that? Man, if it's abuse, man, you got to call the cops and call the church and get some help. That's an exception, and that we're not advocating. So, because some of you may hear this and hear the wrong thing, I have to say that. All right, pretty heavy for Memorial Day weekend, huh? Jeez, I should have worn like red, white, and blue or something and danced around, so we made this a little nicer. We're going to have a little time of response, as we always do. We're going to do some communion. There's some there, and we're going to bring this table around here, and hopefully we'll work it out. The guys in the band can just come on up. This is not a time, let me just say this. This is not a time where you go, I'm glad my wife was here, you know, or I'm glad my kids were here, you know. Man, so we are so quick to do that. We're so quick to go, glad so-and-so is here, you know, maybe it's time for you to respond, you know, anything you want to say. That isn't this opportunity. You know, it starts with us. It starts in our own heart. And what I want you guys to do is I want you to say, just in this time when we worship and get some communion, and say, God, where am I blowing it? Me. Not the person I brought with me, not the person that stayed at home, not the person I worked for on Tuesday. Where am I blowing it? Where do I need to change? That's all that you and I can really affect is us. All we can really do is try to change ourselves. Say, God, change us. Am I being too harsh? Am I not lovingly submitting? Am I not obeying my parents? Where am I blowing it, God? Because I got this uniform on that Paul speaks about. I'm wearing this thing. I'm a Christian, you know? But man, like you're speaking here to the special teams, and I'm on that team. And gosh, how am I doing, God? Look to Jesus, and let's just let him change us as he continues to do. Remember, we always say religion wants to fix you. Jesus wants to change you. This isn't a fixing, this is a changing. We're asking, God, here we are. We're going to worship you. We're going to have this communion where we say, look, we want to share in your body that was broken for us. Your blood that was shed for us, and we want to be different. I want to be like that wife, but that sounds weird. I want to be like that husband, you know? I want to be like that employee. I want to be that son. I want to be that daughter that we read and go, man, that's how I want to be. Not, yeah, the other part of that package is blowing it. No. I want to be like this. I want to be like that. God, change me. Let the scripture do that, okay? We don't read it and let it fix other people. We read it and let it change us. Let me pray for us. Well, Jesus, I've done the best I could with this. I know it's a difficult subject because we are talking about our relationship with other people, and we are sinners and they are sinners, which equals there's going to be some problems. Heard recently a guy say that he says that marriages, before he gives the ceremony, he says there's only going to be two problems with this marriage, this husband and this wife. And we stand there going, for any of us who've been married, we understand that's the truth. Some of us can say we're more the trouble or they're more the trouble. The point is that we're the trouble. We're full of sin. We're rotten to the core. And God, we ask that you would just continue to change us this morning. Thank you that you love us enough. That you're not silent about things like our marriage or our relationship with our parents or our stuff at work. We're so thankful, God, that you're not a God who just comes along and says, okay, all I care about is you show up at a meeting on Sunday and throw some money in the bucket. Man, know that you love us, God. You want our life to be good. That's why you talk about this stuff. That's why you put that book that we spoke about, Song of Songs, in the Bible, because you want us to have an awesome marriage and an awesome life. And God, we want to trumpet that from the rooftops and say, this morning, we thank you for your love for us, God, and we ask you to change us. Make me a better husband. Make me a better son. Change me, God. In your name we pray. Amen.